This is a Federal News Network podcast.
The Pentagon's F-35 program office recently announced an agreement with Lockheed Martin for the next batch of nearly 500 of the high-tech planes. The unit price will be under $80 million, and that's a record low. But my next guest argues the real cost for that next batch is quite a bit higher. Dan Grazier is military fellow at the Center for Defense Information at the Project on Government Oversight, and he joins me now. Dan, good to have you on.
Hey, Tom. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You have looked at the costing analysis done by, I guess, the negotiations between Lockheed and the Pentagon on this next batch, which I guess is over several years now. What did you find?
As soon as I saw all the triumphant headlines about the sub $80 million F-35s, I immediately went to the DoD comptroller's website and pulled up the budget documents just to see how those figures match. And right there for the line on the F-35, for the current lot, they're claiming costs only $89.2 million. But that doesn't include money that was spent in previous years to purchase long lead items for this current lot. And so even on the Air Force's own justification documents, it lists the gross weapon system unit cost for the F-35A at $101 million. So the figures that are being quoted in the press omit quite a bit. And to be as charitable as possible, those figures are deceptive.
And what is the differential derived from? Some overhead costs that they're just assigning to the earlier models, or what are they doing there?
Well, what they're doing, they're only counting the money for that lot of aircraft that comes out of that budget, for that year's budget. But that is not all of the that does not account for the advanced year procurement or the advanced procurement from previous years. So, like, each year we spend money on buying long lead items. So it's different parts and tooling that's going to be needed in order to build next year's F-35. So that's money that's spent in the previous budget cycle. But what the Pentagon does in announcing these low budget figures, they don't include that money. So that's real money that was spent on those particular aircraft, but it was just spent in a previous budget year.
Got it. So they really look at it as a sunk cost, then sink it.
Right, exactly. And just in the current budget, I was looking for the next year's lot of aircraft. We have the Air Force lists $655.5 million in advanced procurement. So for the next lot of F-35s, what they're claiming are going to cost $82.4 million. When you factor in that advance year procurement, those F-35s are really going to end up costing $96.05 million per copy.
And do any of these prices take in the life cycle cost, or it's simply
the
exchange for delivery to the tarmac?
No, they absolutely don't. These headline-grabbing figures, in addition to leaving out the advance procurement, they don't talk about things like initial spares, which is a pretty significant cost just for this current lot. The Air Force's documents list $401.08 million in initial spares costs. So there's that, and then you factor in on top of that about at least $5 million per year just in sustainment costs paid to Lockheed Martin to fly these aircraft. And that's per aircraft, $5 million per aircraft. So the costs go up very fast once you start looking at the budget documents and pulling all these figures and then dividing it out across the entire fleet.
We're speaking with Dan Grazier, military fellow at the Center for Defense Information at the Project on Government Oversight. Now, Congress appropriates the money every year for the F-35 program, and presumably the Armed Services Committee is privy to those documents that you have on the budget. And so what's the real effect of announcing a price of $80 million or $77 million or $90 million, and if in fact the real cost is $101 or $110 million, the appropriators must know that. And so what do you think the Pentagon is trying to buy with a press release like that?
I think they're trying to provide political top cover for the appropriators and for members of Congress. So the F-35 has deservedly gotten beat up over the last 20 years, and one of the easiest issues for most people, particularly voters, to really kind of grab onto is the cost. And so it makes people who are in charge of the program feel good to be able to announce that the prices are dropping. And the prices are coming down, but not coming down quite the way that the Pentagon announces. So by announcing these dazzling prices, they're able to kind of ease the pressure on themselves and on the people who have to vote for them in Congress.
Yeah. So in other words, it's possible that Congress members know better, but they tout this figure to kind of give themselves a political fig leaf.
Exactly.
What about the price reductions that are supposed to happen over the years? I guess that's because of the learning curve. And in semiconductors, when you have a learning curve, it's because you go from producing 50 or 100 to producing millions. This is scaling from 10 or 12 to a couple of hundred, not nearly the order of magnitude that you get in those industries where the learning curve came to be. I think it started with Ford Motor and went from one Model T to, 100,000 of them a year or whatever it was in those days. Does this type of program actually lend itself to learning curve reductions?
It does, but only to a limited extent. And we have seen that. Just doing my back of the matchbook math, the cost for the F-35A from the current lot to the next lot is dropping about $4 million or so per copy. So the costs are coming down. The manufacturing costs are coming down, but the amount of money that we're still going to have, that we have yet to invest in this program moving forward, still has to be factored in. For example, we're now looking to the future of the modernization of the F-35 fleet. And the best figures that we have so far is that's going to cost, just over the next couple of years, $10.5 billion. And that's the announced figure before they even really start doing this. So with long experience looking at the Pentagon, that announced figure, you can probably double it, and you'll probably be somewhere close to the real figure. So, and all of those costs are going to get wrapped up into each aircraft as well. Going back, so far we've spent $55.5 billion on research and development. Now, if we do end up buying each one of the 2,470 planned F-35s, that adds up to $22.5 million per aircraft. That's money that's just spent so far. We still have to modernize this fleet, which is really a euphemism for completing the development that should have been done already in that $55.5 billion. So there's still a lot of money to be spent on this program. All of that will get factored into each aircraft. So the rosy figures that are cited are only a precis of the true cost of this program.
And we've been talking about the A version, which I guess is the simplest one. The B and C land and go straight up and down. What about the other variants? Just briefly give us what the prognostication is for that one.
Well, again, all of those same factors, as far as initial spares, modernization, the sustainment contracts, they all apply to the F-35 B and C. But if we're just talking about the procurement costs, those are even more than the F-35A. I went through and I pulled the budget documents from the comptroller's website, and an F-35C in this current lot costs $125 million per copy, and the F-35B, the VSTOL variant for the United States Marine Corps, costs $166 million per copy.
So there's a lot of spending yet to come. And what about the performance? They're really not quite operational ready, except in the most rudimentary sense, are they?
Correct. Right. We're still in the middle of the initial operational test and evaluation period. That was supposed to end. That was scheduled to end right about now. But the program has not completed a critical verified simulation facility. It's called the joint simulation environment that's needed to test the most high end capabilities of the F-35. And there's still the Pentagon's announced that they're at least a year away from completing that. So we have it'll be probably 2021 at the earliest before we are able to find out if the F-35 can actually perform as advertised. So there's still a lot of ways, a long way to go. It'll be interesting to see the final report of the initial operational test and evaluation period, just to see exactly what the F-35 can or can't do.
Dan Grazier is military fellow at the Center for Defense Information at the Project on Government Oversight. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tom.